Please, O Lord, our God, make the words of your Torah sweet in our mouths. Please, O Lord, our God, make the words of your Torah sweet in our mouths, in the mouths of your people, in the mouths of the house of Israel, in the mouths of your people, in the mouths of the house of Israel.
Well, Shabbat Shalom, everyone. And a beautiful Shabbat it is. Love the a cappella service. I just love it. Today, I would like to bring you a post-Thanksgiving Thanksgiving sermon. And there's a reason for it. There's a reason for it. The post-Thanksgiving Thanksgiving sermon. And I want to share up front with, in technical homiletical parlance, is called the homiletical idea. Or what am I trying to tell you this morning? What is the essence of it? And here it is. So I want you to get this, and then we'll explore how this all fits together. Living gratefully is the only way to live. Living gratefully, it's really the only way to live. That's what I want to explore with you. Now, there's a lot in life to complain about. Think about Joseph, for example. So here he was a bit of a nudnik as a kid. We get that, and Dave pointed that out. He was difficult to live with, but he didn't deserve the treatment he got from his brothers, who threw him in a pit and then sold him to a band of traders who were marching on with their camels through the desert. And he ends up in a completely foreign place in Egypt. And to add insult to injury, not only does he experience the ripping away of his everything he knew and was familiar with, but then he's sold to the captain of Pharaoh's guard, a fellow named Potiphar. We were talking about Midrash last week. Nathan was teaching us about Midrash. And Midrash, as he explained to us, is a way of approaching the biblical text with a bit of imagination and teasing out meanings. So I'll just give you one example of Midrash that the rabbis came up with. So the Darshan, the preacher, would get up and he'd be speaking mostly to men in those times, and he said, this is the Midrash. Potiphar's wife had this thing for Joseph, and one day her friends were all over, and they were cooking together, and they were cutting lemons up. And Joseph walked in, and he was so handsome that all of them couldn't take their eyes off him, and they cut their hands with the knives and went, ouch! And Potiphar's wife says, you think you have problems? I have to live with him every day in the house here like that. You know what I mean? The Midrash. It's a Midrash, you know? But the point here is that Joseph then is framed. Yeah, it's Midrash. You know, it's earthy, I know. But the point is that Joseph is framed by her. He was totally honorable in the way he conducted himself, as we read this morning in the Parsha. And she pretends that he had treated her inappropriately. And, of course, her husband comes home. She tells him the story, and he's infuriated, so he throws Joseph in jail. And Joseph had plenty to complain about. And we'll come back to Joseph in a little while. But I want to talk about you and me. I want to tell you something. Without getting in the habit of expressing gratitude regularly, you're headed for a miserable life. Being very straight about that, and only speaking slightly hyperbolically. Without a life rooted in gratitude and thanksgiving and continually acting in terms of that gratitude, you really are setting yourselves up for a very, very unhappy life. Conversely, we'll point out that happiness really begins with gratitude. And not just happiness, but goodness. We're going to talk about goodness as well. There's a moral component to the equation here. So if you want to be a good person, then you want to be a grateful person. Because, and I'm sure you've met people like this, or maybe you have some of this tendency yourself, the victim mentality. You know what I'm talking about, the victim mentality? Now, let's not trivialize the fact that there are victims in this world. And there were times, as Joseph experienced, he was a victim. And there were times when we've experienced that as well. We really feel we have been treated very shabbily by other people or the government or whatever it might be. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a mentality, a grid through which we see everything, where we gravitate so much toward this, I'm a victim. I'm just treated horribly by everyone. The system is against me. Everyone is against me. That mentality actually will not only make you unhappy, quite obviously, but also it'll rob you of much of the capacity for goodness. Because when you have a victim mentality, you tend to be angry. And you are more prone to treating other people poorly because of your own anger and this ongoing, unrelenting sense of being a victim. And so I can think of some examples, very prominent examples. Think about what brought Hitler to power. A victim mentality, which had captured the hearts and minds of many people in Weimar Germany, where Hitler was able to see, you see, the way we were treated by the Western powers at the signing of the Treaty of Versailles, we are victims. And cultivating the anger, the sense of victimhood, actually created the collective environment where it was easy to say, and here's where goodness really suffers, it was those Jews, right? It's their fault. And we know what occurred. You see, a victim mentality, when we gravitate toward that, is not helpful. Not only will it make us unhappy, but it robs us of some of the motivation to see the larger picture of things with a sense of proportion, and it can rob us of the capacity for goodness. And if we think of the rise of communism, we have a very similar thing. Who was it? Well, Karl Marx said, it was the bourgeoisie. They just exploit us. And the tendency, too, is then to take your mind off of how you could be culpable in particular situations and relationships and whatnot, and how it's not just everyone else's fault, but it can be your fault, too. And the net result is you end up unhappy, and you end up robbed of much of the capacity for real goodness. Now, I'm telling you, just to repeat what I said earlier, living gratefully is the only way to go. Now, I want to switch angles a little bit and talk about gratitude. Actually, there's a fair amount of Thanksgiving talk in our culture, but I want to point out something that I think is a fundamental weakness with the way people even show up at Thanksgiving dinner and this time of year talk about being thankful. People will talk about being thankful, but there is no object to their thankfulness. What do I mean by that? To say I'm thankful, but with no object, no one to thank, who are you thanking? What are you thanking? Are you thanking atoms? Are you thanking electrons? Are you thanking the sky? Are you thanking the moon? What are you thankful for? And so I want to suggest to you that the deepest thankfulness always has an object. And for us in this synagogue, the object is the God of Israel. We are not thankful just as a kind of emotional expression, an amorphous, undirected emotion, but rather our thankfulness is directed at the one who is the giver of the gifts. And so we say, thank you, God. Thank you. Todah rabah. Thank you very much. It's not an amorphous feeling that's ephemeral and which just eludes us and it's gone in 2 seconds. Rather, we live in the space of real thankfulness. But a secular culture can talk about being thankful, but there's no object. There's nowhere to go with it. There's no one that you're thankful for. But we know to whom our thanks is due. So when we think of thankfulness, we can think about, well, how do we express it here? How is it expressed in the rhythm of Jewish life? Well, twice this morning, there were major elements of thankfulness. Both occurred during the Amidah. I think of Hu Eloheinu. I love Hu Eloheinu when we do that. Hu Eloheinu, da 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 da. And what do we do? Then the piano will play, or in the case of an a cappella service, we just kind of hum it, die, 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 die. And what do you do? And what do? We spontaneously express thanksgiving to God. We thank you. Now, I should tell you, Shabbat is not a time when we're asking for things. It's not really the time during Hu Eloheinu to go, God, you know, help us with our finances, help me with this, help us. That's not really it. That's not the spirit of the Amidah. The spirit of the Amidah is, and the spirit of Shabbat is, we're expressing thankfulness, and our prayers of thanksgiving rise to God. And it's a beautiful thing. I want to be ask you to be a little careful. Don't sermonize. Sometimes people like to sermonize, you know, and want to be a bit careful about that. But we like to express thanksgiving to God. There's another point in the service later in the Amidah when the bracha, Moedim Anachnu, and we bow before God and we thank you, oh God, for your blessings, which are so many, which for your signs and wonders and miracles, which are with us daily. We thank you for so many things, and we catalog all the things that we're thankful for. I won't take the time now to go over it again with you. But you see, the idea in the context of Jewish experience and Messianic Jewish experience, as we think about Yeshua, the ultimate reason for thankfulness, I would think, is that we cultivate thankfulness, but it has an object. Do you see what I mean by that, gang? You get the difference between having an object to your thankfulness or an amorphous emotion that really doesn't go anywhere? Am I being at all clear about that or no? You getting it? Okay, good. It really is quite important. Okay, let's go on. So in a congregation, very practical thing. Sooner or later, everyone's going to disappoint you. Me, everybody. Why? Because you're a human being and I'm a human being. Can you receive that today? Okay, you're a human being. You're giving it your best shot. But we don't do it perfectly. No one does. The question is, for the sake of the coherence of a community, whether religious community, any community, can you rise above the disappointments, the little disappointments, often they're relatively little, sometimes they're not, can you rise above them and say, you know, so-and-so disappointed me, but I'm so thankful for that woman. She's terrific. She is so faithful with such and such. And do we gravitate toward the thankfulness, or do we get locked in this kind of, ugh, and you don't want to be there? Thankfulness will give you joy. Thankfulness will give you the kind of moral oomph to be able to cut people a break. Thankfulness will propel you to goodness. The absence of thankfulness will rob you of all these good things. Everyone's going to disappoint you, but can you be grateful? Another insight. Gratitude has to be done or acted on, or it has to be expressed. It's not enough just to feel it. You gotta say it. And I would like to quote our president-elect Diane Cohen. She's like a prophetess in Israel, you know? She really is. So she writes these magnificent weekly meditations, and if you're not on her list yet, you want to get them. I'm just going to quote a little bit. This is from her pre-Thanksgiving meditation. As we thank Hashem for waking us up to another day, no matter what it brings, we understand the power of gratitude. Most likely, no one reading this email is homeless or without food. We have people in our lives who care about us and about whom we care. There are so many who have so much less. We have so much to give, even if just a kind word. For if you tap into His overwhelming love, you are rich beyond measure, overflowing with abundance in Him. Share it in the ways that you can. What is Diane reminding us of? It's not just in your kugula here. You have to express it. You have to say it to people. And I'll have to say, I believe our congregation's pretty strong in this area, and I have noticed that. And if we are a peaceful group, which we have been for many years, I think it's significantly a function of the spirit of thankfulness that isn't just felt but expressed to one another. It lubricates everything, and it gives us a lot of joy. Now, in conclusion, in the spirit of the Midrashic imagination, we talked about Midrash, right? Here's a prayer I imagine Joseph might have prayed when in that dark, dreary jail in Egypt. So this is my Midrashic treatment, okay? Not from the greats of the past. Avinu Malkeinu, here I am stuck in this jail for who knows how long. My brothers betrayed me. Potiphar's wife framed me. Yet somehow I know everything's going to work out. I'm not starving. The jailer even trusts me to work around here. Avinu, I really would like to take a shower and a shave. Anyhow, I give you thanks. Todah Rabah. Wait a minute. The warden is coming. What's that? He just ordered me to take a shower and a shave? He says Pharaoh wants to see me? The end. Now here's the thing. I'm going to ask you to do something in closing. Shut your eyes just for a minute. Shut your eyes and breathe and feel your breathing. Feel yourself breathing. Now I want to tell you, every breath you're taking right now is a gift from God. Every breath. You are not self-existent. You did not make yourself. God, through whatever we call natural processes, brought you about into this world. And the next breath, the one you're breathing in right now, is His gift. So I'm going to suggest that we all just thank God right now for the next breath. And remember the point we're making today. Living gratefully is the only way to live. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Please, O Lord, our God, may the words of your Torah sweet in our mouths. Please, O Lord, our God, may the words of your Torah sweet in our mouths. In the mouths of your people, in the mouths of the house of Israel. In the mouths of your people, in the mouths of the house of Israel. And may your descendants and the descendants of your people Israel be those. Know your name and study your Torah, for Messiah.